96.9 FM, live and local. This is the Morning Primetime Newsmaker.
The Newsmaker segment today is brought to you by Prairie Land Partners John Deere, located 1 mile west of Emporia on West Highway 50, delivering the right solution.
Get ready for incredible savings at Prairie Land Partners. Backed by popular demand, you can now choose one of the following implements for free when you purchase a 1 through 3 series John Deere Compact Utility Tractor. Elevate your productivity with your choice of a versatile pallet fork for heavy lifting, a rugged rear blade for precise grading, or a sturdy box blade for efficient earth moving. Visit them in store or online at PrairieLandPartners.com to learn more.
Prairie Land Partners.
KVOE, we are live and we are local, and we are happy that you're with us on this Monday morning, the 8th of April. Sunshine right now, 42 degrees on our way to 72 before it is all said and done today. And we're very pleased to be joined on our primetime newsmaker via the KVOE Sutherland's Home Improvement Studio line by 60th District Kansas Representative Mark Schreiber. Mark, good morning. How are you?
Great, Ron and Chuck. How are you guys doing?
Doing all right. You catch any rest here this weekend now that the session is officially over, at least the regular part of it is?
Yeah. It's I lost a little sleep there Friday night, Saturday morning, but I'm catching up, and it's nice to stand up straight outside in a few days now.
Not have to
leaning into that wind. That was something else.
Right. That catching up on sleep didn't have anything to do with you guys going super late, as which has kind of become the standard late in a regular session, did it?
Yeah, unfortunately. It did. Yeah, we finished up, the house finished up a little bit before 3 a.m. Saturday morning, and I pulled in the driveway about 4. So, yeah, it was kind of a short evening.
Well, given all of the, the last-minute flurry, which, again, has kind of become par for the course here, was it a good regular session? Were the items mainly addressed that needed to be addressed?
I think in some areas they were. I think going in, everyone knew we were going to have some kind of tax reduction bill, and exactly how that was going to look took up some time and still not settled yet. But, I thought it addressed several things, and probably some things that didn't need to get passed were held at bay for now, and I'm sure they'll resurface down the road. But, I think overall it was pretty good.
Well, you had and still have plenty of money. We are flush with cash, which is a good thing here in the state of Kansas. Medicaid seemed to gain some traction, Mark, but just not quite enough, huh?
Right. Yeah, we had a hearing there in our House Health Committee, and I don't think anybody really felt it was going to move further than that committee hearing, and of course it didn't. It's frustrating for those of us who support expansion to have it kind of blocked at that level, but we'll keep trying, and I think the data's out there from other states and so forth, and I think eventually we'll be able to make it happen, hopefully sooner than later.
It sounds, Mark, like there may be, or at least very late, there was work to bring Medicaid expansion to the floor in both House and Senate. Do you see that possibly when you get to veto session, at least having some floor debate on the topic in either chamber?
It could be possible. I don't give it much of a chance, but it could be possible. We've got a few other things to get passed before we adjourn the session, but it's always possible, and we'll see if leadership will let it up for discussion.
What about our tax bill here, Mark? I mean, it was first unanimously passed in the House, which is something you don't see very often. There's still some tugging at this, huh?
Yeah. It's kind of bounced back and forth. We started out with the single rate plan, which was vetoed and not overridden. early on, and then the House came up with a plan, and it seemed to have a lot of momentum, passed 123-0 in the House, but the Senate didn't like it, and they sent it to committee, and then they came up with their plan, and we didn't do much with it, so it was back and forth. The latest one that passed again, 123-0, before we left. Now it's waiting to see what the governor does with it, and it passed with a fairly strong vote in the Senate as well, 24-9. But we'll see what the governor does with it, and then if we can override a veto, if that's what she wants to do. It's, I think what all sides are kind of looking at is the total cost of the reduction over the next 3 years. It seems to kind of be centering around $1.5 billion over 3 years, and how that's done with the various segments. I think we're all in agreement. Social Security income would be exempt going forward. There's some property tax reduction as well, and that's kind of a sticking point on the how many mills from the K-12 budget or the assessment for the 20 mills would be reduced, and then the income tax brackets, whether it's two or three, those are the two options right now, and then which ones of those get adjusted and by how much. So I think we're kind of narrowing down a little bit, but we'll see what the governor does here, and hopefully we can get that done and provide some tax relief.
I guess question comes up is just how much overall tax relief can be sustained here, given at least over the most recent trend of a slowdown, absent from what we saw in the March revenues, but. What we're looking at, about $1.4 to $1.7 billion in general terms in the overall reduction side of things. In your opinion, Mark, can the state handle a package that gives that much tax relief and still is comfortably able to do its business? Or are we going to be pretty drastically tightening our belts here once this tax relief package is done?
Well, I think that's been the overall question from all three sides, the Senate, the House, and the governor's office. It seems to be centering about 1.5. The governor, I think, feels, probably 1.4 to 1.5 is kind of where she's looking at. And we'll just have to see where we go there. But I think in that range, the budget folks believe that it's sustainable. It doesn't put the state in a precarious financial condition, and hopefully we can get that done. One of the keys the one key that will be important coming up in our veto session is the consensus revenue estimate group meets here in about a week and a half, and we'll see what their projections are as far as revenues for the next 6 months. And I think that will have a role to play when we come back to veto, to see everybody's kind of expecting a little bit of a slowdown just because, a lot of our ending balance was made up of federal dollars, one-time federal dollars. And so we need to look at our ongoing revenue, and that consensus revenue estimating group will provide that estimate and provide another guidepost for us to judge what our tax bill looks like.
Is the budget pretty well set then? Can you just go ahead and plug this tax part in, and then once you come back, get everything finalized, plug the budget in, make the vote, and be done with it? Or is there going to be, based on the conversations when you get back, a lot of work that needs to be done here in order to finalize the budget and get everything set?
The budget is pretty well done. There'll probably be some adjustments when we come back, but I think for the most part we've passed our budget, and I think it's in pretty good shape. of course, the governor has line item veto authority on the budget, so there might be some reductions in the overall budget. But I think overall it's in good shape, and we'll see what happens over the interim here with the governor's veto pen. But I feel pretty good about the budget where it stands now, and I think the Senate does too. So I think we're in good shape there.
Kansas 60th District Representative Mark Schreiber joining us here on our Newsmaker segment today. Again, lawmakers went into the regular legislative session recess very early Saturday morning and will return to work for the veto session April 29th. Just logistically here speaking, Mark, given now the fact that you know the tax relief hasn't been finalized yet, still obviously you got to finalize the budget on top of that. Do you expect this to be a long veto session now, or do you expect that maybe this is still going to be maybe 2 or 3 days top end and be done with it?
I think it's going to be about 4 days. Usually we come back on a Monday for a veto session, and this year they had told us to prepare to come back on the 29th. However, last week, I think because of the issues surrounding the tax bill and its fate and so forth, we're going to come back as the House and the Senate on the 26th, which is a Friday, and plan to work the 27th, which is Saturday, and then also the 29th and 30th the following week. So it'll be about 4 days there. It could go longer. I think the problem starts to become later in that week. People are going to want to, you know, go to graduations or some other significant family events, and they could start losing some members on votes. And so they'll try to get done, I think, by midweek on that April 30th, May 1st time frame.
Go ahead, Ron.
The home stretch is here, so we appreciate, Mark, your time and your work in Topeka, as always. And, hey, it was good to see your daughter in town book signing this weekend, too.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. She had a great time and sold out all her, you know, all the books she had ordered for it, and she just had a great time. So we really appreciate all the support here locally and took a lot of good pictures down there.
Good to see Gretchen back here in town.
Indeed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mark, are there anything here from the, looping back to the session real quick, anything else about the session that you wanted to bring up here this morning, either work that you felt was positive that you were able to work on to get done, or stuff that should have gotten done and wasn't?
Well, I'll mention just a couple of things. The first, I think, is the funding that we were able to get for Emporia State was pretty significant. The there was a program essentially that was set up for the regional universities that each of them would get $3 million. And then there was an additional $9 million that was provided to Emporia State for their investment model that they have ongoing. And they were also able to pay off the debt on the Memorial Union remodeling. So that was a significant issue for Emporia State, and although I didn't have a lot to do with it, I wasn't on those particular committees. Of course, I supported it and in the budget, and that was good news for them. We weren't, I haven't dug too deep into the budget yet, but I don't think we were able to get as much capital dollars assigned for Flint Hills Tech College. But that's going to be a continuing issue that I hope we can look at in the future. And then one kind of along with Representative Droege down in Greenwood County, we were able to get a small provision in that would allow a portion of the taxes received from the historical horse racing machines that will be put into Wichita here I think in September of 2025, part of that will go to a horse breeding fund that will reinvigorate that part of the horse industry here in the state, which has previously been fairly strong. And then the other part will go to help supporting renovating Eureka Downs and get it operating again, which I know there were, you know, several folks from Emporia that went down there when it was operating several years ago. But it wasn't a bunch of money out of the budget because it was all paid through the taxes that are on these historical horse racing machines that was authorized last year. But it was nice to get that done so that that part of our ag industry involving horses will strengthen some. But the Emporia State deal was excellent opportunity for them to continue on with their investment model, and glad to support it. Beyond that, I could probably, there was one other thing, Blueprint for Literacy, which was finally, I think, our education institutions, both K-12 and higher ed, have collaborated now, come together on a plan to increase literacy rates of our students. There was a bill that was proposed that solidifies this collaboration, what teacher qualifications and training will be, and expectations for the students. And I think that was an important move. It got tweaked near the end, but I think that is the first time I can recall in the many years, Angie and I have been involved with kids with dyslexia, that both the higher ed system and the K-12 system are now in sync on how to address this with the science of reading and get teachers trained in it and then teach our kids how to read.
Well, Mark, much appreciated here today, and best of luck when you guys get back into session here at the end of the month.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
You guys have a great day.
All right, you too. That's 60th District State Representative Mark Schreiber joining us on our primetime newsmaker here on a Monday.
All right, you want to be part of the newsmaker segments? We've got Wednesdays open for now. We'll be filling that here shortly.